What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kevin. I am excited about this topic.
Don't we say that every week? I'm excited.
Well, we've been doing a few, like, how to market this archetype, that archetype, and then every once in a while we take a break and we talk about
some
rebranding crap that people are doing that we have very strong opinions about.
Right. Okay, so have you ever, you know, the videos that you see a lot of these, like, on TikTok, YouTube, of course, Facebook videos. But have you ever seen the video where it's just a sequence of people, like, doing really, really stupid things? You know, almost invariably, someone on a rope swing out over a lake is going to land on their head.
Right. I love those.
Okay.
I totally love them.
What happens with me is I see it queue up. I see what all the possibilities are before it happens, and all of those things are racing through my head, and it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion.
Like, your cringe meter is going crazy. Like, oh, this is gonna
be bad. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't.
I know. I don't like the ones, so a lot of them, like the skateboarding or the bicycle ones, where you know what just happened really hurt.
Yeah.
I don't like those.
Jumping off
roofs.
People
that are just, they're goofing off or doing something stupid where they're not really getting hurt. I like those.
Yeah.
But I don't like seeing people actually get hurt.
Well, the reason I brought that up is anytime I hear the word rebranding, I have the same
cringe factor.
Cringe. It's like, really? Here we go again. Oh, God. Oh, no. It's going to be, they're going to land on their head.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that our listeners totally have gotten used to the idea that we are going to talk, you know, passionately and give out strong words of caution whenever we hear the idea of rebranding. But that's what our topic is today, is rebranding, because we've seen a slew of them in the last 4 months.
Yeah.
So four biggies that have all happened this year. Words of caution are going to sound familiar, but I hope we can shed a little bit of light on what's done well and what's done not so well with each of these, right?
Yeah.
So are you okay with a hold no punches, tell it like it is approach?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. Okay, listeners, if you'd like to see the visuals, because when large corporations and other companies commonly talk about rebranding, a lot of times they're really talking about just revamping their logo or revamping their identity. Okay, so when we talk about rebranding, it's the bigger picture of branding, not just the logo. But in the media, of course, they're going to say, oh, they rebranded. Well, they just changed their logo. And that's okay. That, you know, if there's a disconnect with the words that are being used to describe what's happening. But three out of these four are truly just a revamp of their logo. So if you'd like to see the visuals, if you'd like to see what the new logos look like, just go to our website, www.brandarchetypes.com. Go to the blog and the blog post called Rebranding Tales 2021. So let's dive in.
Sounds good.
I will let you go first.
All right. I'm going to talk about Burger King, mainly because, first of all, I think that the King character that they use is super creepy, and I do not like him, but that is not what we're talking about today.
Yeah, the big fiberglass-headed guy.
Yeah, really don't like that guy. Right. Anyway, so, but the rebrand that Burger King has recently undergone can be classified as one of those throwback rebrandings. which isn't always bad. A lot of times large corporations will revisit designs that they used in the past or elements of things they did in the past that worked for them, or, you know, kind of going with that idea that what was old is new again, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of what they're doing here. So 22 years ago, Burger King made a major shift away from their words inside a hamburger bun logo to a much more contemporary, glossy, flashy logo that de-emphasized the bun and added reflections and a big swoop circle border thing and just kind of modernized their logo.
Yeah, really, really, really flashy.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Everything was on an angle and everything's like,
which is cool because as technology advances and people get more programs to do those kinds of things, I mean, they want to use them and do that kind of stuff. So that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So the new 2021 logo essentially goes back to the version that was originally created way back in 1969. And prior to that, the logo did a lot of flip-flopping between like a big starburst to a simple logo type font to a cartoony king sitting on top of the hamburger. And none of these really like worked within the more successful identities that we've seen, you know, starting like half a century ago. So the only big difference between the 1964 version and the 1999 version is the bun got a little bigger, the orange color got a little darker, more saturated, and the font face became like a little bit heavier.
For a lot of us, our buns got a lot bigger since 1960.
So true. Bigger buns. Oh my gosh, that's so true.
Especially if you eat Burger King. Sorry, Burger King.
Yeah, right. And some of us, you know, Burger King has something to do with our bones being bigger.
That's it.
So if we fast forward to the 2021 logo, they made the bun and font face even bigger and heavier. So that tracks.
Yeah.
But my bet is if I were to separately show the two logos, and we did that on our podcast show notes, but not side by side, There would be very few people that would be able to tell me what the differences are. It's pretty subtle.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the bun height. It's like if I didn't see them side by side, I don't know if I would have noticed that the bun is ever so slightly taller.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And the color is ever so slightly different. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And because of the two new trends in identity recently, I think this change will actually work for Burger King. It's not, you know, it's not too crazy. And the first is to flatten the logo by removing gradients, textures, bevels, any other 3D qualities. You can talk, you know, that's kind of your area of expertise. Mm-hmm. And the second is to, you know, shift to logo designs that have an old-timey feel. So that's kind of what they're doing there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that both of those trends are pretty strong right now. Seeing a lot of old timey stuff, much to my chagrin, because I really don't like the complexity of old timey, you know, kind of seals and, you know, lots of font variation and sizes and shapes.
Calligraphy
and
stuff.
And, yeah. Just really, you know, old woodcut stamps and things like that.
Sure.
But, you know, nothing wrong if it's still done well in the context of good solid logo design. I think I'm kind of nonplussed by the Burger King change. You know, it's like the fact that they are able to stay completely within the Jester archetype, that their color palette really hasn't changed, their font hasn't changed. I think this is just a safe change. You know, when you go, especially a change, 1969, who, you know, other than Coke's taglines, I don't know of other brands that have really thrown back that far.
Right. True.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's interesting, but it's definitely a safe move.
Yeah. Agreed. No,
it's not earth shaking. Right.
Okay. So what's the next one you want to talk about?
Next one is Pfizer. Mm. So because of all the COVID vaccine news, they've been in the news every single day. I think that this is just a design change. It got a lot more exposure than it would have otherwise.
Right.
You know, it's not like people go out of the way to experience the Pfizer logo like they do with Burger King.
Right. I do have to say, though, I have a friend who's getting a puppy this weekend, and she's naming it Pfizer.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know.
I love that. I didn't ever post it, but I wanted to put out a challenge there to see if we could get like a betting pool. I thought, maybe that would be, you know, be seen as tasteless, but to have a betting pool on picking a date. Maybe you can, I can do it.
Okay.
To say, okay, we each have to pick a date. And okay, so I'm going to say January 1st of 2022.
Okay. By what are we January, betting on?
That by that date, or by whoever's got the date closest, someone will have named their child COVID.
Oh.
So someone's going to do it. It's like naming your dog Pfizer, right? Okay. Oh. Someone's going to name their child COVID. You know it's going to happen as bad as it is, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, so does this include celebrities and well-known people or just anybody?
Anybody. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the things that people name their kids. Anyway, so Pfizer. Let's go back to Pfizer.
Okay,
that's really funny.
I'll have to think about my date.
Yeah. So I think the design change got a lot more coverage exposure otherwise than would have otherwise. And like the Burger King change, I think this is another one of those safe ones. It's mm-hmm. It really is kind of non-substantive. It's substantive visually. It's definitely a substantive change, but I don't think it really does anything for their brand. It doesn't dramatically improve it or diminish it.
Right.
So essentially the only change was they took the oval logo with the word Pfizer in the middle of it. They took the word out of the logo and they revamped the logo so that it's a separate standalone icon, a little swooshy icon. It's two separate parts instead of a single oval. And that icon is now separate from the logo type. The logo still uses the same font face, same mostly blue that was in the old logo, but they did add a kind of a new, deeper, more saturated blue that's mm-hmm. been introduced into the font type and part of the new oval.
Right.
And so it seems safe, awfully safe, but there is one benefit that, you know, it might come to fruition later. We're not seeing it now because it's just so new. But if you think about like Nike, and you go to a Nike store, most Nike stores don't have the word Nike out in the front of the store. They just have the swoosh. That's the entirety of their sign, right?
It's way more common to just see the swoosh without the word on all of their stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they got to the point where the swoosh was started to become iconic, and then they pushed the envelope on that by removing the word Nike with the expectation that people would recognize it. And enough people didn't recognize it at first that it became a curiosity, and then they did once mm-hmm. they figured it out, and they cemented their iconic state.
Right.
And so when you get to that point where your logo, any part of your brand, any part of your identity becomes iconic, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the word Kleenex, or the word Xerox. These are iconic, where the word Kleenex isn't just a brand. It has become the definition of tissue.
Right. That's true. Absolutely. Yep.
So, I don't know. I think this is a really safe one, though, too. I don't mm-hmm. think.
Yeah. I think it's really good timing. I mean, because of, like you said, COVID and the pandemic and all that, Pfizer is in the forefront of the media right now and mm-hmm. leading the charge of the vaccines and things like that in a way that, you know, that they weren't a common household name before. So the timing is good. It makes sense that this update just puts them even more in the spotlight. So, right. And I think you're absolutely right. It positions them later to become that iconic without the words.
Well,
so,
another benefit of having that icon being separate is if you take that iconic symbol like the swoosh, it can be standalone because it was designed to be standalone.
Yeah.
Where mm-hmm. the oval, before, you were never going to see the words outside of the oval because that was the logo.
Right.
Now, there are two little interlocking swooshes that make the new oval.
Yeah.
You know, I could see that being put on a, you know, baseball hat or a polo shirt or something. And it's like, oh, what's that logo?
The Pfizer.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. side of a shot.
Yeah, the side. I could have it tattooed and the shot goes right between the circle thing.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It's their target. Who's going to get Pfizer tattooed on their body first?
That's right. It's a brand sign. That's right.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's right.
Okay. So you get number three.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to talk about Kia Motors. Mm-hmm. This is one that does not fall into the safe bucket. It's pretty dramatic. It's a departure from their previous logo. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't like it. It's not even legible. Like, yeah, I'm like, what are all these lines? What are you? Yeah. And IKEA is like a very short three-letter name, whatever, you know, there's not a lot going on in that name. And they just bastardized it. It's not, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. And they also created a new tagline, what they refer to as a brand slogan. We would call it a tagline. Yeah. So on the IKEA website, it says the new logo features symmetry, rhythm, and rising elements that embody Kia's confidence and commitment to customers. So, of course, I'm a word girl, so I like the use of these cool words. Mm-hmm. And they disclose their new brand slogan, Movement That Inspires. Okay, all right. Okay.
Yeah, five syllables. Yeah. And if you're going to have a new tagline with the word movement, the one real strong quality of the new logo that I like is that it does feel like it has more movement in it.
That's true. It does. Yeah. Okay. I'll give them that. Okay.
But I kind of agree with you.
Yeah. But, well, and because Kia doesn't really align themselves with one particular archetype, it's a little bit harder to evaluate the way we normally do it. Yeah. But okay. So here's some pros and cons. So the pros, it's very contemporary. Definitely. It's very updated. It looks modern. And like you said, it has more movement in the design. But the cons are it's just hard to read. It's going to take a while for people to understand that it says Kia. It just doesn't look like it says Kia.
Right.
And some of those angular shapes in it are just going to beg the question, like, what is this? It's a different color. It's a different size. I mean, it's completely different.
Yeah, so that's what I thought. When I saw it, I go, what? Okay, I get that this is trying to say very unsuccessfully the word Kia. But there's other little angular shapes and, you know, reflections of symmetry and asymmetry. And it's just, it's very shape oriented and very angular. And I'm looking and I'm like, okay, outside of the word Kia, what's up with this? And how come they did that? There was a lot of visual confusion for me.
Mm-hmm. There is right in the center of it, it does create like a triangle that's kind of like that fast forward or that movement. It's going backwards.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. But like, you know, kind of like what the, is it, it's FedEx, right? That has a arrow in the middle that kind of like the white space, which is really
points
cool.
in the right direction.
So exactly. It's going backward. Like who wants a car that goes backward? Anyway. Okay. Right. Kia, make it better. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. I'm done. Done rant.
Okay. So speaking of the negative space, the fourth one, is from General Motors. So it's really interesting that we're reviewing two cars and two logos that have built in some negative space I think the designers were both saying, oh, you know, the FedEx logo is so cool, ultra cool. We're going to be just like the kids at the A table. We're going to do it that way. Yeah. Okay. So this one is kind of near and dear to my heart. Growing up in Michigan, you know, we all have experienced, we all know family and friends and people who work for the automotive industry.
Of course. I mean, there's people in my family that don't speak to one another if they buy a foreign car or a Ford something. It's not GM. Huge in Michigan.
Yeah. I would have to take my dad in my Toyota Prius to like doctor's appointments and stuff. He's every time he got in the car, this is embarrassing. It's embarrassing for people to see me in this car. I'm like, yeah, okay, get over it, Dad. Growing up with a dad who spent his entire career with General Motors, and I grew up in Milford, Michigan, home of the GM Proving Grounds. So, yeah, definitely the GM thing near and dear to my heart. So, let's first point out that GM has always been a really solid ruler brand. And I don't think they ever veered away from it, ever. So it saddens me to see this kind of change to identity, right? So for decades, they were the largest corporation in the world. Definitely they ruled the roost, maybe a very close second by Ford in the automotive space in Michigan. And like you said, you know, the number one and the number two duking it out big time and down at the family level, right?
Right, sure.
So not surprisingly, I'm going to have a pretty strong reaction if the brand departs as big away from a good approach as big as. Now, there's a lot of designers out there who say, yeah, the new logo really, really sucks, but so did the last one. It's like, well, yeah, the last one was just, you know, a box with the letters GM.
It wasn't fancy.
But it definitely was within brand.
Yeah. You don't have to be fancy to be on point.
Exactly right. Yeah. So it's, this is the change here. It's a doozy of a change. Yeah. So simply put, I hate it. 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 I hate it.
Yeah.
So are you starting to sense where I stand on this one?
Yeah, no, I don't like it either. When we first noticed it, I think we were watching TV and Henry, my 13-year-old, saw it, and he's not market-minded. And he was just like, oh, that sucks. I mean, that was his visceral, immediate reaction to that logo. Yeah. He was like, ooh, no.
Boy, in the world of agencies and designers, they are getting reamed for this change. Yeah, I feel really sorry for the designers who came up. The agency, I haven't looked to find out who it was. Yeah. I'm sure it's a Michigan agency, so I don't know if you're listening. Yeah. I feel for what you're going through right now. I mean, they could have made the logo pink, and I don't think it would have made it worse than it is now.
Yeah. So, maybe.
Yeah. So the new logo, it features color gradients instead of in the old logo, there was some variations where there were some gradients, but it was mostly just a solid blue. So the gradients are definitely more accented. It's a more vibrant blue. It's lighter in tonal value. And here's what GM says in a statement. It says, the new GM logo features a color gradient of vibrant blue, blue tones, evoking the clean skies of a zero emissions future and the energy of the Ultium platform, which is GM's EV battery system. The rounded edges and lowercase font create a more modern, inclusive feel. The underline of the M connects to the previous GM logos, as well as visually representing the Ultium platform. And within the negative space of the M is a nod to the shape of an electric plug. So, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. And although I like the ideas of connecting the sky blue, hinting at the Ultium premium battery, you know, that's all of the kind of the Nike logo, using negative space to hint even further at this idea of, you know, clean energy and all that. I think all of these ideas, everything that they said in their statement, could have been done without softening the logo. I think the softening of the logo is what makes it off-brand.
Yep.
And so part of their softening decision was to build in the concept of inclusivity. Ugh. What?
That's not the ruler brand.
That is not the ruler brand. I'm not saying don't ever build in inclusivity, but not if it smacks your brand in the face, which is what it does.
Yeah.
So, and not only do I not think that people will see it or think it in any way, it's like if it would be as if Henry, your son, not reacting the way he saw it. If he saw the logo and he said, oh, look at that new logo. It feels so inclusive. What? Right. What are you talking about, Henry? Right. No one is ever going to do that.
I'd be like, you're a marketing genius.
That's right. So I think just this idea all by itself is the biggest demonstration that the designers did not have a firm grasp or sensitivity to the brand equity, that the danger of veering too far away from the historical context of the awesome ruler brand that GM has been for, you know, two generations.
Yeah.
Right? So the new logo, it takes the bold square, the actual square of the old logo, and they convert it into a box with rounded corners. So it's not a solid square. It's a lined box, but with rounded corners. Ugh. Rounded corners. Ugh. The new gradient is actually a departure from, like I said before, it's the flat logo trend that we referred to earlier. You know, that flattening of logos. Double UGG. That's two hits. And worst of all, this makes me so, so sad.
Yep.
The font is taken from caps to a lowercase.
Yep.
Triple UGG. So yeah, I say three strikes, you're out, GM. That's it's painful to look at this logo.
Yeah.
It's that bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the things that you just mentioned, like the rounding of the corners and things like that, by themselves, it's not a bad concept for creating a logo. It's not wrong to use those elements. It's just wrong in this case because of their brand.
Correct.
And the biggest one for me, Kevin, is if you were a ruler brand and you use caps and now you're using all lowercase, it's just like, oh man, you have been demoted.
Well, the designer doing it demonstrates that they weren't sensitive to what that meant. The agency heads who said, yeah, let's run with that, or have even allowing it to be one of the variations that was presented to GM. And then the marketing department within GM taking a look at all the work that was done, because you know this wasn't just a single logo that was popped out. They said, okay, you know, they probably looked at maybe hundreds.
Right.
And this is what they all landed on. It just, it's shocking and saddening to me. It's
right.
Really bad.
Right. Yeah. You know, what might be cool in a future episode to just, you know, throw back to this one is your design idea. I don't want to put you on the spot right now, but like your design ideas for updating the logo, but keeping it more within brand. If you, what you do as a logo creator, that'd be kind of cool to.
I would definitely do the pink.
Yeah. Right. with sparkles and confetti coming out.
Sparkles. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, to go back, it's interesting that they did mention their statement about logos from the past. I didn't go all the way back to look at what did GM's logo look like before the square. When you look at automotive, the history of automotive logos, it is very interesting to see. And I can hear you typing. So
I'm looking at it.
Of course you are. It was
GM's first logo.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it was
pretty dramatic. It's probably like curly cute kind of fonts, you know.
No, it's black and white. It's a big G, big M, and the word General Motors under it. Still in a square, black and white.
Ah, okay.
So
interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another thing that I was going to say when you were talking about Burger King, you know, if on the blog post for the listeners, when you go and look at the Burger King logos, we did a presentation.
It's so fun. It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
So the Starburst looks like something out of the Days Inn logo, you know?
Oh, that's sunset. True. It does. Yeah.
And then there was that logo type font, which is like kind of cheesy and hard to read. And then the worst of all, I will start using it as what not to do in logo design. The 1959 version of the Burger King logo. 55.
Yeah.
Is a king sitting on top of a hamburger bun. There's so much going on.
It looks like Clip Art. So bad. It looks totally like Clip Art.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, if you ever create a logo that looks like this, you did a bad job. So
you bought something for $5 on Fiverr. That's what you did.
It's a Fiverr logo, right?
Not to slam Fiverr. They can do some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Love Fiverr as a concept, but logo design from Fiverr, maybe not so much. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this has been so fun. I mean, you know, you and I are never for a lack of strong opinions.
It's so true.
So basically, as a recap, don't make changes to your brand or identity willy-nilly. These things need to be done strategically. There's nothing wrong with updating stuff, but it's got to be done.
True that.
Yeah. Always keeping your brand in mind. And don't veer too sharply or drastically. Yep. And for the love of all that is good in the world, please do not switch away from an already built, powerful, emotional-based strategy to something completely different. Because it's a bad idea, and it pains me and Kevin too much to see it happen. And if you do it, you might be made fun of on our podcast.
That's right. If only if we catch you.
Right, that's only true.
If we see it, we're probably going to say something about it.
Right, right. Oh, and feel free to, you know, poke fun at our brands. We're not perfect either, but, absolutely. We can take it. We can take it on the chin.
Yep.
So, Kevin, why don't you give us a wrap-up?
Okay, so if any other big brand revamps, identity revamps, or rebranding initiatives you see you would like us to check out, we love having people point things out to us. Hey, did you see the such and such change? Yeah, that's how we get a lot of our stuff, is people point stuff out to us. So we want to see what you see. And when you find stuff that's, if you're driving down the road and you see a billboard, you go, oh my gosh, that was the most horrifying thing I've ever seen from an archetype perspective. We want to see that, you know, and we're going to be putting that on our blog. So if you have stuff like that, absolutely reach out to us. You can contact us at brandarchetypes.com. Just follow us on all the social platforms. And Amy, we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Yeah. Hey, before you go, you have a trip coming up that you're going to be out for a few weeks. So we need to let our listeners know we're going to be changing up our format here just a smidge. We might be doing a couple of solo episodes coming up here. So, you know, be kind of fun and interesting. When is that going to be starting?
Well, ideally, if all things go as planned, we're going to be gone the end of June, first week in July. We're trying to go to Germany and Europe and see our friends out there. But Germany has not opened its borders yet.
Right. So June, late
end June of June, early July for July. 2 weeks. And then, and then I'm hopefully again, I'm going to be going on to Ireland. So I'll be gone. I'll be gone for a month total, but I will be in, I'll be connected. So
over the next few weeks, we need to plan for that. Maybe queue up a couple of pre-recorded episodes. Maybe do some flying solo stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Sounds cool. Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. Bye. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.